that. Take your Bible this morning and turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, I thank you for being here today. We've had a pretty rough week in America. A lot of things have gone on. A lot of things have happened that are very detestable, very unfortunate. A lot of things going on in our government that surprises us that we don't live by the law. And I'm concerned about that. And I think you ought to be concerned about that. And I think that we ought to, as Christians, really be praying. And I want to talk to you today about the government and the Christian. I think it's very important. It's very essential for us as Christians to understand what the Bible says. In this day and age, I've been hearing many Christians seem to be developing hostilities towards our government. And let me remind you that this trend certainly runs contrary to the Word of God, and I want to show you that in the Word of God. I want you to be very good. I want you to be very good Christians. I want you to know the Bible. We ought to be people of the book. We ought to be people of this holy Word of God. We ought to be reading this every day. We ought to be falling on our face before God every day for our government, praying that God would certainly intervene in many things that are going on in this life. I think some of these things that are happening today have certainly been brought on by folks that they try to get it right, but they're going at it the wrong way. And what America really needs is revival. We need Jesus in this thing. We don't need government. We need Jesus in this world. And I want to remind you that in the Old Testament time, Moses and the priesthood were the government. But as the time progressed, the children of Israel demanded, of course, of Samuel. Samuel was about to pass. And Samuel wanted to put his sons in, and they were not capable of doing the job. And so the people demanded that Samuel would go to God and demand a king. And, of course, God told him, you don't know what you're asking for. You get a king, he's going to demand your men to run in front of him. They're going to demand your boys to take your boys away from the farm and become soldiers and become... I read your maidens will become confectionaries. In other words, they're going to be bakers, and it will take a lot of things out, and they will tax you, and you got to have money to run the government. And he told him, he says, you're making a bad mistake, but okay, you're going to get what you want. You know, sometimes it'd be a good idea that God didn't answer some of my prayers. It'd be good sometimes good God didn't answer some of your prayers. Once they had a king, Israel started to drift from his religious moorings and kept drifting farther and farther from God's intended plan for its nation. Then we find in the New Testament, Rome is occupying Palestine, where Israel is. And many of the Jews consider them to be the completely illegitimate government. And, let's see what the Bible says about government, all right? Scripture teaches us what our attitude towards even corrupt and immoral government is to be proper. It says we're supposed to have the right attitude towards our government. It's interesting to see and interesting to note in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I would suspect that you'd really figure that he is our ultimate one that we follow, and the one that we follow and go by what he said. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 51, we see the Lord Jesus Christ submissive to earthly parents. Now remember, this is God, but he's still submissive to his earthly parents. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 19 and 20, we see him submissive to a minister. And then in Matthew chapter 17, verse 27, and also chapter 22, verse 21, we see him submission to the government authority. He said, what Caesar is Caesar's, and what God is God's. And that's when he sent Peter out to go fishing. And he caught himself a fish that had a coin in his mouth. He said, take it and go pay the government. And of course, what Jesus teaches grates against the attitude of most all the Jews of that day. In fact, it even grates against many church members today. Romans chapter 13 gives us a strong argument and submission to the powers to be, our government. The first verse sums up the whole matter perfectly. Look at here, chapter 13 and verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So God says, Paul says, there's no one greater than God. And he says, now God has allowed these men to be rulers of the country. They're the powers that be. And how are they there? But they're ordained of God. I met a couple of deputy sheriffs yesterday. They were parked over by Maple Gardens going to go get something to eat. And I pulled in. One of them was two real good guys. And I said to one, hey, boy, it's been pretty tough week for us, hasn't it, Ben? He said, yeah, pretty tough. I said, I want you to know I'm praying for you. I've been praying for you all week. We're in a society that's got things tips upside down. We're really kittywampus, as my daddy used to say. I don't understand what kittywampus means, but he said everything's kittywampus here. The first verse sums up the matter perfectly. Let every soul, and I'm looking at souls today. You know, you get on an airplane, they do a count, and they count the souls. If you get on a ship, they'll say how many souls are on board. They count them by souls. They're people. We are souls. Still count it that way. The Bible says, every soul. That means you're not above the law, like some people try to be. You are subject to the law. So let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Put your thinking cap on with me and remember that this Bible, this book, Romans, the epistles of Romans, was written to the church at Rome. Yes, even though the government was corrupt, and we know the Roman government is corrupt, amen? Or me, one or other. And the Apostle Paul expected them to submit to that authority. Listen, if you don't submit to authority, you got chaos. You have criminals running all around. Hey, I'll tell you what, I'm glad about that detention center up there in Cassidy County Sheriff's Office. I'm really glad about that. I am. It's containing people who are not willing to live by the law that would give us freedom to live the way we expect to live. Aren't you glad about that? And that's what he's talking about here. Here's the powers to be. These people have made laws. And by the way, most laws in America were made according to the precepts of this Word of God. Don't you let anybody tell you anything different. Every building, every federal building in Washington, D.C. has a Bible verse on that building. Go check it out. With this fact in mind, God is also, listen now, in our White House at this moment. Listen to what it says in Psalm 22 and verse 28. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. Psalm 75, 6. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. Came from the north. Where's north? Heaven, amen. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. So we better be careful how we go about our business. Amen. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 15. By me, God says, kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me, princes rules, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. That includes America, okay? Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Sometimes we wish he'd squeeze it, amen. As the rivers of waters, he turneth it whithersoever he will. I've been a Christian for a long time, and I've experienced in my Christian life God ruling and reigning over my life.
Even when I didn't want it, and even when I kind of pushed away from it, he still ruled in my life. I thought I was going to marry somebody else, but I married this gal right here. Thank God I married her, amen. I'll tell you a funny story. While that, one of my old girlfriends died of cancer. And my wife says, see, aren't you glad you married me? That's supposed to be funny. I wish you'd laugh. Jeremiah chapter 27, verse 6. And now have I given all these lands under the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. God's saying this. Now I have given the hands, these lands under the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. He calls him my servant. He calls Nebuchadnezzar, this ungodly, this immoral king. He said he's my servant. Listen to what he says. My servant and the beast of the field have I given him also to serve him. And all nations shall serve him, his sons and his sons' sons, until the very time of his land come. And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. And it shall come to pass that the nation and the kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, that they will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon. That nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword and with famine and with pestilence until I have consumed them by my hand. What does God say? Nebuchadnezzar is my king. I've placed him there. He is in my hand. I'm going to take him and do what I want with him to accomplish my will. You understand that? Am I way over to the top of your head? So if God puts in our country our president, President Obama, are you telling me that President Obama is no different than Nebuchadnezzar? Oh. And God said, I placed him there, and you better be careful how you treat him. I hear a lot of people, and I'll confess, and I've asked God to forgive myself. I'll confess, I'll be honest with you, I don't like the things that are going on. I must pray God's will be done and quit cussing him and start praying for him. That's Bible. If God can take Nebuchadnezzar and say, hey, I'm going to tell you folks, he is the king. He's going to take your children. He's going to take you and put you in bondage. He's going to take your land and your beasts and everything. And I'm telling you, keep your hands off him. That's what God said. Because why? God is doing his will. Hey, by the way, how many believe that Jesus Christ is going to come back? Would you raise your hand? Yeah, he's going to come back. He's going to come back. And before he comes back, what did he say was going to happen? As in the day of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. How are the days of Noah? Drunkenness, frivolity, immorality, divorce, you name it. Homosexuality, it was rampant. And we're thinking we're better than that? No, God said, no. It's got to happen before I come back. So why should we be surprised at these things? This is why God said, comfort one another with these words. I want to comfort you today. I want you to know that we're in the right place at the right time for God. And it is my responsibility to say, dear God, have thy own will. Now, I'm not supposed to say, God, I want it different. God says, you pray for my will. I learned a long time ago that this universe does not spin around me. Now, I know some of you are confused about that. Some of you think that this world spins around you. Everything that happens, everything that goes on, everybody's supposed to applaud you, and everybody's supposed to bow down to you, and everybody's supposed to kiss your feet and kiss your baby and pat you on the back. I'm telling you, God is the center of this universe. And everything whirls around God. And he does it for his own purpose. And if you get caught up in the things of this world and the problems, you ought to just say, Lord God, thy will be done. I thought there was a prayer like that. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy... Funniest thing.
again, Daniel. Daniel chapter 4, verse 17, very interesting. It says, this matter is by decree of the watchers, and the demand of the word of the Holy One to the intent of the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it and besets of men. You can't put it in a different way, but God is in control. You say, I don't want God in control. Well, whoop-dee-doo, hoo-hoo. He's going to be in control whether you like it or not. And he will do his will, and he'll do his perfect will. For some, he may have to remove you and get you out of the way so his will can be done. Jeremiah, back to Jeremiah. Isaiah wrote in Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 16. Jeremiah, not Isaiah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth this year. Thou shalt die because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. You say, what are you talking about? And God said, let me tell you something. Jeremiah wrote to church, wrote to the people that were in, that were away from their city. He said, I'm going to tell you what. You keep preaching rebellion. You keep going against what God's will is, and God will take you out. I think we have forgot the seriousness of the power of God. I think we've forgot the seriousness of our government. Can you imagine having a, can you imagine a city without government? Some of you guys from Montana can probably remember it when we were just a territory. And a man did something wrong, we take him out and lynch him. Get it done. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And then they had to send in the U.S. Marshals. And then all of a sudden they said, wait a minute, we're going to make a city and we're going to have a sheriff. We're going to have a peace keeper who's going to keep the peace. Can you imagine our cities without our police officers? These men that put on their uniform and put that star on their chest and holster that weapon, carry about 70 pounds with their vest on, to keep you safe and keep your husband safe and keep your three little boys safe and that little baby that's coming safe. And for someone to come in and to devise and make plans to destroy these peacekeepers is an awful devilish thing. I would hope someone would say amen to that. We have to have a government that will help keep the peace. Because there's some people in this world who are unwilling to keep the peace. They're unwilling to live a life of peace. You study Daniel's attitude towards the king. He was immoral, possessed evil spirits. You study David, how he treated his king. He always spoke of him in respect. God had called David to be the next king, but Saul was still on the throne. Here's what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 6. This is how he treated this king who was after his throat. He said, I'm but one step to death. He said, I'm like a bird that's being caught. And he said unto his men, this is what David said, and he said unto his men, Lord forbid that I should do anything unto my master, the Lord's anointed. Yes, President Obama is the Lord's anointed, whether he likes it or not. To
to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. David also rose up afterwards and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, My Lord the King! And when Saul looked behind, David dropped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. We Americans have this fetish that we have had way back when it started the revolution. We were not going to bow to a king. We're going to bow to a king. We're going to elect a man who is from us. He's one of our peers. We do not look, we do not accept him making rules over us. But we the people make the rules together. But he is to enforce that and he is to keep us safe. Amen? Isn't that our president? Again, 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 9, and David said to Abishai, Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? Look at Daniel. He was submissive to this government. This government had killed his family, carried him off to prison, made him a eunuch, yet even after Darius had him cast in the lion's den, he said, O king, live forever. We have become so vicious and our attitude so mean that we have crossed the line of God's rule. And God said, we will obey those who have rule over us. Notice Joseph in Egypt. God used him mightily to minister the pagan Egyptian. Does this mean that he should never rebuke someone for authority? Of course not. Someone's going against the law? Hey, this is what the law says. That's our responsibility. But we ought to do it properly. Gentlemen and ladies, I have a question for you. What good does it do to preach against someone's sin if they're not there present to hear your correction? If our President of the United States is not there and we do not speak to him face to face, what good is it? Remember the anointed in Jeremiah 28:16, if you teach rebellion against the Lord, he will heap rebellion in your church and your family. That's what happens. So you better be careful what we say about people and how we condone people saying miserable things about certain people. Paul charged Titus in Titus 1:1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, and ready to give a good work, to speak evil of no man. I'm really convicted about this. I am. I'm convicted about this. Because I have spoken evil against our president. When I was growing up, it was a different world. We left the keys in the tractors. We left the keys in the cars. We left our gas places open on the farm. We live in a crazy world. I want you also to know that you realize that there is no one that is perfect in authority. And by the way, you're looking at one that's not perfect. That time will come when Jesus Christ will return and set up his kingdom on this earth for the millennial period. And our rulers will be perfect because we'll have the mind of Christ, but not until then. The prophecy about the succession of kings in Daniel chapter 2 shows the government was at gold one time and it dwindled down all the way to clay. Daniel chapter 2, verse 39 says these governments are inferior to the one before. So why should it surprise us that our government is becoming clay? You say, well, that's not a blessing. Well, Jesus said in those days
the coming of the Son of Man, these things are going to happen. Well, we are still in subjection, even if they are inferior government. Romans chapter 13 tells us. Here's something we'll also look at. You will notice that Paul never called himself a prisoner of Rome. He called himself the prisoner of Jesus Christ. He recognized the hand of God in his life and his government. Paul never asked prayer that he would be released, but rather that God's will would be done. And I think that if this crosses our line in our mind, that when we see things going on, our prayer should be, God, thy will be done. It's hard to do. Here's a young man right there, just really starting in life. Three little boys, got one coming. January, I'll be 70 years old. I've seen a lot of things. Some of you are a little older than I am. Some of us will be gone. Talk about the trillions of money that are in debt and all these things. You say, but that concerns me. No, you're saved. God, thy will be done. By the way, when November comes around, the first week of November, that Tuesday, don't you be an idiot and not vote. Listen to me. Don't you be foolish and not vote. God has given to us in America the right to vote. I heard an old lady say the other day, she said, doesn't work out here in Montana. Everything's all voted before. But I said, I don't care, ma'am. I'm standing right in Sam's Club. I got right into it. Amen. I had two lawyers next to me. And I said, let me tell you something. Your vote does count. Hey, you vote. Don't you think it doesn't vote? Doesn't care. It counts. But we are to vote our conscience. You said, but Pastor, I see one guy up here and one lady up here, and man, I don't like both of them. Well, go to the lesser of two evils. But you need to vote. Because if you don't vote, your vote is going to cancel, your vote that you didn't vote is going to cancel out some votes that had the same idea of voting for the person that they should have. Let me tell you something. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 commands us that we're to pray for our rulers. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 commands us that we're to honor the king. And may I remind you who the king was when Paul was when Peter and Paul were on this earth? It was Nero. And Nero was that mad king that lit up his palace gardens and driveways with oil and pitch-drenched Christians and lit them afire, and they weren't dead. He was a really good guy. But Paul said, pray for him. You said, but Pastor. No, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And if you don't like what the Bible says, you talk to my boss. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 requires us to obey civil law. And that's what did not happen the other day. For the Lord's sake. Here's one for you. Mark it. Of the fleshly false prophet in 2 Peter. Despise not government. And speak evil of dignitaries. Dignities. We are not called to defend the Constitution. Though we have every right as a law-abiding citizen, we have the call. We have a greater calling than that. One man said, let the dead bury the dead. And go on for the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ was here, he wasn't trying to overthrow the Roman government. He was about his Father's business. And we have missed our responsibility in our churches. Our churches are becoming polling booths instead of doing our Father's business. What is my Father's business? To go tell everybody that I can about Jesus Christ so they'd receive the Christ as their Savior. Instead of complaining about it, we should examine ourselves and see what it is and how we're not pleasing God and that we would. I'm sorry to say the average Christian today is just living for himself. He's forgotten God. Many Christians are cold and almost dead. As a result, God is restricting the liberties that He gave our founding fathers of faith. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 2, "For the transgressions of the land many are the princes thereof, but by a man of understanding and knowledge the state thereof shall be prolonged." The grumbling Christian today must remember that the fault lies squarely on his own shoulders. He should be on his knees. We should be giving thanks for the liberties God's given us instead of complaining with the liberties we've lost. The only thing that is going to save America is a revival like North America had in the days of Whitfield and Edwards and Wesley and Moody and Sam Jones and Billy Sunday and Mordecai Ham. But the average Christian would rather be spend their times and days reading all the conspiracy theories on the internet than read their Bible and pray and win some soul to Jesus Christ. When the liberties that we have now have been lost, that man will rail against his government. He forgot that it was doing so. His railing against God has set up rulers over him. You say there are cases in the Bible where people did disobey government. Yes. But not when it came to the rule of God. May God help our wicked souls. We pray for our country. Instead of damn our country. We pray for these men and women that serve our country as best, quote unquote, they know how. But that we would pray the Holy Spirit would give them wisdom. If God has called them and God has anointed them and God has approved them, then God can speak to them because He said that I will take them like a river of water and I will point them where they should go. It's just we've forgot what we are to do as Christians. We have become an embarrassment to God. Quit your complaining. Learn as much as you can. Speak the truth, and the truth will set you free. Our job is to be in my Father's business. That's what God said. Let me ask you this today. If you died today, would you go to heaven? This sermon really wasn't much for you, except I will tell you this. God loves you, and He's given His only Son for you. And if you invite Him to come into your heart, He'll save you, and He'll keep you forever. He'll give you wisdom in this craziness and give you knowledge to understand that these days will not always be. Someday the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and those that remain shall be caught up and will ever be with the Lord. But until this time, as Paul said, comfort one another with these words. God loves you. Father, I pray You'd help us today. Thank You for loving us and caring for us. Thank You for our country. Thank You for our president. Thank You for all those in government. I pray, Lord Jesus, that You would speak to their hearts and their lives. They're Yours. You ordained them. And if You ordain them, You can turn them. Lord, Nebuchadnezzar turned and said, Thou art the God. But oh, for the years he tormented in Babylon the people of God. Went against every principles of Yours, but You turned him. Lord, I pray You'd turn our government. Help them to see what liberty is and justice and freedom is all about. Dear God, I pray for our country. I pray for this church, Heritage Baptist, that we would be very careful, that we would pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Dear God, I pray that we would say, Lord God, I'm going to do my best to be the best citizen of the United States. Lord, and to do that, I must be one of Your citizens. I must have You to be my Savior. I must have the Holy Spirit within my heart to show me Your will. Lord God, I pray You'd speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I have a home in heaven. Boy, I'd sure like to know that. My friend, if you're sitting here today and not sure you're on your way to heaven, why don't you right now